First, we have a special meeting. I call it school board to order. Roll call, and we got a quorum here. And so we need approval of agenda. We need a motion to approve the agenda, please.
So moved. Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Motion Brewer?
Aye.
Blackhouse?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. And this is a public hearing on a certified budget. Now I'm gonna read an opening statement about this. Says this public hearing is required as part of the district's certified budget. The notice provided to each resident shows the maximum total property taxes the district will adopt as part of the certified budget, which will be adopted by April 30th. The board secretary is hereby directed to enter any written comments into the record of this public hearing. For those of you in attendance, thank you for being here today. We value your input and are interested in hearing your comments. If you are planning on speaking, please fill out the form on the back table, which we have right here, including name and address, and your names will be called in order received. Each speaker will have a maximum of 5 minutes. Your public comments will be considered as part of the district's final budget decisions. As a reminder, board members are present to listen to and receive these comments. Board members will not engage in dialogue or respond to questions during this meeting, but may address issues that arise at a future board meeting. May you go do that? Do you guys first, or do you want to do it?
So we received one written comment from Bernie Nesbitt. Just as Secretary Mobley, although I would like to attend the tax meeting scheduled this evening, you have scheduled it so late in the day during my work commute that I cannot miss work in order to, among other things, earn money to pay current taxes. Since I can't attend, I would like you to voice my opposition comment to any tax increase by the Knoxville School District. Your desired increase does not take into account the lack of increase in my pay in order to support a higher tax burden. Additionally, I am sure that the majority, if not all, taxpayers in the Knoxville School District have not received additional pay increases to support a higher tax burden either. Any additional tax burden will negatively impact me and others in your school district and should not be allowed to pass. If necessary, for my opinion to be included in your board meeting for this vote, please add my comment to your agenda. I ask that you email me a list of your roll call votes by all board members on this tax increase matter once taken, or provide a link to where it is available for viewing. Thank you.
We have a couple of here in person. We have Judith Mark. Judith, can you come up to the front? That's fine. And hit the little red button on the, or black button
here.
That turns the red button on.
I don't have that much to say. It's okay. I gotta turn that on?
It's on now. Sorry.
I just want to actually issue a complaint. I live in the country. I am a senior citizen. And I think that we are, that the school itself is putting a big burden on the taxpayers of Marion County. Every time you turn around, you're doing something. You're building a school, tearing down schools. You keep adding large amounts of money to the debt of the school system and passing it on to the taxpayers. And I think it's a burden to the elderly who live in the country or live in town, who own property, who bought their property at a low rate years ago, and now it just keeps going up and up and up, so your taxes keep going up and up. You are actually creating so much expense that a lot of us seniors and other people that live in the community or live in the township, mean, I'm considering selling my place and moving somewhere else to get out of Knoxville School District. Not the state, but Knoxville School District. Because Knoxville School District's taxes are equal to those in Des Moines. Polk County or Warren County, or I have family in all those places. And I think it's just unfair. And I think I would like to vote down any further expenditure of the school. Other than if we live on a budget, the school should have to live on a budget too. Instead of coming with your hand out asking for more money, learn to use the money you have. I can't go out. I have no job anymore. I can't go out and get more money. I have to live within my means, and you should too. And that's just the way I feel about it. And I'm sure that there's a lot of other folks around that feel the same way. In fact, I have family who sold house, moved to other state. I've had family that's moving, building a new house, but they're building it out of this school district because of the... I think we just got one of the highest school district prices around. So that's all I have to say. I vote against it. Anything you're, any raises, I vote against it. And surely you can find it in your budget somewhere to cut some other little places. It seems like there's a lot of money spent on unnecessary spending. So that's just my opinion.
COVID knee?
It's COVID without the C.
Okay.
You're right.
I didn't want to make any jokes.
Old age is catching up. My name's Ovid Need. We live at on South 6th Street where the old school was. We have no children in the public school system. But you own the property. I have to pay rent to you to live on my property. If I don't pay my rent, you confiscate my property. You own it. Whoever the taxing authority owns the property. You keep raising my rent just $11 per 100,000, which does not count the increase in the city and county taxes. Where will it stop? Will this be the end of it? Probably not. I realize I'm probably spitting in the wind, but why is there no talk about cutting expenses in the school system as we must do with no increase in income? This increase in your rent on my property will squeeze us even more, and you can even confiscate my property if I do not meet your higher rent requirements. I must cut my expenses so you don't have to cut your expenses. From where must I cut or get the extra income so you don't have to cut your expenses? Why is there no talk about cutting expenses? That's what I'd like to hear. Now, I'm new here, so I've really only been here less than a year. So I have some other questions. I'd like to know what I'm paying for. How deep are we in the DEI? Diversity, equity, and inclusion, or transgenderism. Are we into that? Is the school system into that? Or can anyone tell me?
We can't answer questions.
Pardon me?
We can't answer questions during the public comment, this like public comment section of this.
Okay. I don't know how to find out. I've looked on all the websites and I've tried to find out how much increase there's has been in learning since you moved into the new building, but I can't find it anywhere. Where can I find it? Can anyone tell me where I can find it? On the web. I've looked at everything I can think of, but nothing comes up.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
I'm sorry, I'm very hard of hearing.
Okay. I would be happy to speak with you if you want to come into the district office. I'm the superintendent, and I'm happy to meet and show you that information.
Okay, there's an office I can come to here to get that information.
It's right next door. If you go out in the hallway and take
okay.
a left, the
Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'd be glad to. Okay. I will say this. I believe the $29,306,000 would have gone a long way in bringing the old school up to where you felt it was needed. And now you're losing students while we are left to pay the mortgage. And my property is at your disposal, sad to say. And anyway, that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Elder. All right, at this time, there's no further comments, and we'll adjourn this meeting and move into our regular meeting. Public hearing part. Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We do have the quorum. Motion to approve the agenda. Any conflicts of interest?
So moved. Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Schwarzenegger?
Aye.
Slykhouse?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. Public hearing part. Okay, then let's move into this public hearing for the revised calendar and also the preschool calendar. There's no comments. We'll move into the consent agenda. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Slykhouse?
Yes.
Schwarzenegger?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. Communications. We got a presentations. KMS ELA. Proposal.
Good evening. So. So the first few slides will probably look familiar. Just again. Talking tonight about our middle school ELA recommendation for high quality instructional materials. The first slide there is just a review again about curriculum. Curriculum is set by the state of Iowa through our literacy standards and is what we are looking for in a resource. The next slide is really about there are a lot of different resources that schools can consider when trying to find materials that will help get our students exposure to those grade level standards. So that is going to be part of what you'll hear about tonight is that process that our middle school team has gone through to look at those different resources to align with the Iowa Core Literacy Standards. The next slide is just, again, our team. Started this fall when school started. We started the research and review phase. Then we moved into pilot selection and then a pilot phase, which has brought us to the table here tonight to make our recommendation for the resource that we feel would really move our literacy programming forward in Knoxville. A lot of thanks to our team that you're going to be hearing from tonight. Matt is our sixth grade ELA teacher. Sarah teaches seventh grade ELA for us. Sydney, eighth grade ELA. And Desiree Hudson, our instructional coach at the middle school. And Claire Cole, who could not be here this evening, is also our secondary instructional coach who's been part of this process with us. Many thanks to the team for the many hours that have been put into this so far. The next slide, as I mentioned, we had a research phase where brought to the table with the help of Heartland AEA, literacy consultants, different research, including the science of reading, which you may be hearing about a lot in the legislative conversations, making sure that the resources that we're looking at are aligning to that science of reading research, and as well as adolescent literacy research, really looking at specifically targeting the age groups and what has been shown to be effective for meeting the needs of our adolescent learners. Again, I have shown you this one before about the opportunity myth, just stating that some research done across the United States, both in urban, suburban, and rural school districts across the nation, showed that a lot of our kids are really actually doing quite well in school. They're doing the work that's being asked of them. What the study uncovered was that the problem with that is only about 17% of the assignments that students were given were actually aligned to those grade level standards that I mentioned. So that opportunity myth being that we're selling our a bill of goods to our students, that if you're successful in school, you'll be successful later on, which we're trying to really ensure is that we're doing that grade level work, we're having those high expectations, so that when students do well in school, that they really are able to leave here and be successful in their next foray, whether that be into the workplace or furthering their education or training. So again, the call out of that opportunity myth was for teachers and educators, administrators to really study this, to understand this phenomenon, and then to select high quality instructional materials that help us deliver on that promise of grade level instruction. So again, a lot of our reading and research went into part of this process, which I will let our team talk more about what that looked like and included.
So when we all got together the very first time, we talked about what did we want in a curriculum, what was important for our students and us as educators, and we came up with this vision statement. Students will engage with high quality, complex text and digital media to develop comprehensive, active listening and discussion skills. Students will develop the necessary skills in reading, writing, speaking, and listening that are the foundations for creative and purposeful expression in language. Students will apply these skills to the purpose for reading independently and to see themselves as readers and writers who persevere in the face of challenging work. Students will be effective collaborators to persevere with tasks aligned to grade level standards. So we kept this in mind with all the curriculum that we looked at before we made our selection.
After we made the vision statement, we then got on Ed Reports and looked to see what curriculum had all green reports, which would mean that they were rated high, that they met seventh or whatever grade level curriculum that they were on. We wanted to make sure that it was well-liked and highly regarded curriculum before we even started piloting anything. From there, we narrowed it down to 4 selections. And we reached out to other school districts, talked to other teachers. We did our own research on these different curriculums. We looked at different materials that they would send to us and looking through it. And based on this, we settled on piloting Amplify.
So one, these are a list of like all the units that we teach, and one thing, I've been here 9 years and I've always wanted was good alignment between elementaries and the middle school, because we haven't had really good alignment. I know that they have, they're starting Amplify, and they have Amplify right now. So one of the great things about this now is that if you go to the next slide here, it actually spirals, which means that it's, we're going to see that again, or the students are going to see that again later on. So it, like, we know that you've seen this before, whether it's the skill or the topic. So right now we're in sixth grade, we're talking about Greek mythology, and I think it was second or third grade, they also have a Greek unit too. So it spirals throughout school, and one of the things that Sarah hears all the time is that I didn't teach them anything. When they do something, they're like, you know, we've never seen that before, yep. And we know that they have, all right? So one thing that's harder, which it's easier for us to talk about that, or it's harder for us to know what elementary is doing. So now we know, if we're all on the same page, we know what they're learning.
Okay, so this is some examples of the eighth grade material. We did the Frankenstein unit, which is science and science fiction. We love this unit as a class because it was a graphic novel. It's a rendition of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, so the traditional Frankenstein, but they made it a graphic novel. So pictures, easier to understand for the students. And they had digital copies for teacher guides online and in paper, which is fantastic. But then they also did that for the students. So everything was available in a true book. Old school book, you can open it, follow along, which the students love to do. But then there was the digital aspect, so then that way the kids that like to highlight as they read, or they like to like make comments as we go, they could do that without worrying about writing in the book or keeping a separate page of notes. It also had constant checking for understanding while we're going, so that way they made sure they understood and I could go back and look, okay, we did not understand what Victor was doing with his mantra at this point in time, we could go back and reteach. So it was like a constant daily check-in, so I made sure the students were comprehending before we got to the assessment so we could reteach as needed.
So next slide shows seventh grade. And in seventh grade, we did poetry and Poe and talked about Edgar Allan Poe. And my students, again, like Sydney said, they got the book copy or online, they could keep notes. Poe is a hard concept to grasp in his writing, but it was nice because then the kids also got to do storyboards to show me if they were understanding a scene. And then they got to do a quest of figuring out, they got clips of different Poe material, and they had to figure out who killed Edgar Allan Poe by taking almost like a game of Clue. They had clues in it, and here was his house, and we got to decide, okay, using our investigative skills, which brought it more real to them, and they loved it.
One thing I've been impressed about with this particular curriculum is how engaging it is. There's both paper and digital, and one thing that, as we've been piloting it, kind of find the perfect marriage between the two. I think we've kind of found that, and also have seen engagement in students just discussing in class of what they really like about the stories that we've read. And I don't know if you're big Fortnite players, I thought Dave for sure was going to say yeah. But right now, Fortnite's come out with a Greek mythology kind of thing, and that's what we're doing in sixth grade. So right now, it's like the biggest engagement ever with the students. So our stories are topical that we're reading about and is of interest to students digitally and just paper and pencil. Both. So it's really good.
When we were looking at curriculum, one of the main things that was important to us was vocabulary. With our old curriculum, our current curriculum before we had piloted this, it was something that we teachers had to create. We looked at our stories, we looked at vocabulary words, and it made us put a lot of work in it, and we hoped we were doing what was correct. It has taken that guessing game out. It tells us what words, based on our grade level, should be with those novels or stories put in, and it gives them the opportunity to practice and become proficient in the vocabulary. Amplify has chosen to do that in a game type atmosphere because we know students love gaming and they engage with that a little bit more than me standing in front of them teaching. And so they have put it at the start of every single unit, and there is a little video to show what it looks like. No, they sorry. So based on their level, what level the student is, I can give it where it has the ability to read the things to them, or they have to read them and find them. This particular student, she's at my higher level, and so she needed to do the skills herself versus read it to him. So that's why you only heard if she won her prize for it. So with our next slide, it moves on to grammar, which is also another concept prior to Amplify that we are teachers, as teachers, would create all of it. We had a few different curriculums from what we would pull from, and we have what the state says we should be teaching, but it doesn't tell us how or in what level. So we really enjoy Amplify in the aspect every grade has 37 lessons that are currently built in, and they are on grade level and they build off each other. So things they do in sixth grade, they move to the next advanced version of it in seventh grade, and so on with eighth grade. So they're seeing same skills repeatedly, but that's it's at a grade level context, and so they're making those connections and building with their skills as they go. And so here's a picture of all three grade levels and what exactly those skills are per grade level standards.
This week is ISAS week. It's our Super Bowl of standardized tests. And one thing as we've been preparing for ISAS this week, is we can kind of see what, we can show the students what the ISAS test looks like. And a lot of comments that we've gotten is that, hey, it looks like Amplify. That's what we do, that's what we have been doing. Amplify has students writing way more than our old curriculum ever did. And which that's what the ISAS test is asking them. It has a whole bunch of different questions where it's multiple choice or open-ended writing questions, and that's what we have been doing this year with Amplify. So they're writing more than they ever have been. So the confidence of the students when they saw the sample test were sky high, because we're like, we've done this before. We know what we're doing here. One of the great things that helps us on our side is there is so much writing that it actually helps us a little bit through the use of AI to grade some of like the grammar and things like that, because there's so much feedback that we can give them. So as you can see on kind of on the slide there, it kind of grades that portion for us that helps us out as teachers, and then we can also provide more feedback if they followed the prompt or answered all the prompt and things like that. So it's really a really neat tool that kind of brings our curriculum up to date with the latest technology that we have now.
Going through the process, we wanted to make sure that the curriculum was grade level. I did not teach Poe last year because it was not part of our curriculum. This year, the kids loved it. I know in sixth grade they read about the yellow fever, and they loved learning about that. And Frankenstein was in eighth grade. So we are moving our kids to that grade level material, which we wanted to, by having these short stories, novels. They can have it online, or they can have a book, which is great too.
So in conclusion, on behalf of the team, we're asking that We're recommending that we approve the purchase of Amplify ELA. Again, we will be using funds that we had set aside from ESSER III, which were those COVID relief funds that were distributed to school districts. We've set those funds aside specifically for this purpose, knowing that this was something that we wanted to tackle in district. Again, those funds, we use them by, I think the new deadline is September of 2024, or they go back to the federal government. So again, we've set those aside and very specifically for improving literacy in our school district. Again, thanks to this, many thanks to this team for really digging in, making sure that we're bringing a proposal to you tonight that really does reflect high quality instructional materials and something that we can really feel good about putting in front of our students and asking them to do hard work and persevere in that. So I think later in the agenda, you will see the quote for student and teacher materials. That's a 3-year quote, which would get us the, as they were saying, there's some books to purchase and some upfront costs that go with purchasing a new curriculum. So that would get us that upfront, those upfront first year costs, and would get us student materials, both digital and print, for a total of 3 years via that quote, as well as the professional development for our team here to really dig in and make sure that we're using these resources to the best of our ability. So those quotes, you'll see those two separate quotes for materials and then PD later on the agenda. So, thanks, I'll turn it over if you have any questions for the team.
I don't have specific questions, but I just want to say thank you for taking the time to dig in and figure out what would be in the best interest of our students. I had the opportunity to go down to the elementary schools and look at this curriculum, and it was pretty impressive, and so I'm happy to see that we want to carry it through to the middle school as well.
Agreed. We had the opportunity to sit and observe, and it was impressive. Even your off-task student was on task, and that's unusual to observe with this curriculum.
Thanks for taking the time.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Next, we've got publications, transportation letter. Brenda, you want to come forward, please?
Hello again.
Hello, Brenda.
Well, as you all know, last year I came before you and asked you to help let us purchase a TransFinder that we put on our tablets and our buses, and we have cards for the students to scan on. I'm happy to announce that we are now using that quite successfully with all the route students. We have the cards ready for the in-town students, but we have not handed them out yet just due to the fact that we're kind of waiting for this implementation. We have an upcoming app that the parents can put on their phones, and that's going to really affect the in-town parents, I feel, more than the route parents. So we already have this letter just typed up, and just kind of talks about their ID cards they have, and there is obviously a fee to them if they lose them, which they come in a little plastic thing like this, like we do on our own badges, and there's a little plastic cord that goes on it. And they can, a lot of kids have attached that to their backpacks. We've seen little kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, very happy, excited. I've been on the buses with them, and they're ready to get them all scanned on. They're like moving all around so they can scan their badges on their on the little ID scan there. And their face, we don't have their faces on there, but it comes up that yes, they're on. And if it's, we have had it, if they get off, like a student gets on at North, scans on, supposed to, gets off at West, but that's not their home per se. It still says accept or decline, so you accept that they got off there. So when they get a report at the end of the night, hey, where did little Johnny get off on? I pull the report up, oh, he got off at West instead of his home, if that was a case of a parent not knowing. So that's been the only bad thing about that, it's not live. but it is, if I needed it to be live, all I would need my driver to do is to go into their system, hit in navigation, and then it all comes right over to my computer. I don't know, you may have any questions about the letter, or?
I don't have a question about the letter.
Yep.
If someone gets off at the wrong stop,
mm-hmm.
does it alert the driver
it
to
does.
Not let them off?
Yes, it'll come up accept or decline.
Okay.
So if they're getting off at a stop they're assigned to, it just scans green.
Okay.
So how about if you have a friend staying over at another friend's house?
That's something we're going to be experiencing at the new school year coming forward. I'm working on a handbook, and one of my recommendations is going to be that each student has one stop location. You have one home or one stop in town. You stop every other day, you're going here, and 2 other days you're going, 3 days you go to this stop, 2 days you go to this stop. Or if a friend comes rides with them, parents are going to have to figure out, we're going to have to go to the school to pick both students up, or they're going to have to go to each other's homes to pick them up and meet at the house, if that makes sense. It just helps because we have such a high volume of students riding the buses. It helps with us keeping count of who rides the bus. A lot of our buses, you know, have the tags up there with their names. And in fact, the one that bus that stops at the Colonial Terrace, right now he's almost to the brim. I mean, we're almost at 3 students per seat on his bus. Some of that due to obviously Cading Properties coming up, and now they've sold more of that land. We'll have another bus, and then another bus that just does directly kids from north to west and west to north. And he also is to the 3 in the seat. And when they're a lot younger, it's one thing, but when you have your route kids, they're middle school, high school, and have their band instruments in their backpacks, it takes up room for them. So this allows every student that needs and is entitled to a ride to have a spot on the bus. And then we have that scan on the form.
This is all in place now?
Yes. And what this letter basically is going to do is outline for the parents about the replacement cards and what happens when they do misplace them. Because right now we've had just a few, like say we've just been doing the route kids, and they're being very, because they ride every single day, and the mom, you know, they know they need to have it to get on and trialing with that. And we probably had, I suppose, 85% success rate with that, would be my, of hearing from the driver saying so-and-so forgot their badge, or they lost it, but then of course 4 days later they find it, that sort of thing. So it's not, we give them a few days before we actually turn in that we need a new badge, where we charge them for a badge.
So it gives safety that we know that the right kids are on the bus and getting off at the right spot. But
yes.
As we roll out more with the app for the parents, it'll also give them visibility where the bus is on the route.
Correct.
So you don't have to.
Right.
Down and sit at the
bus stop. Yes, like is it running? And we'll have that availability also to put out an alert to those riders on that bus. If it happens to be running 5-10 minutes late, then just you two will get it because your kids are on that bus. You guys won't get it because your kids aren't on that bus. So again, yeah, thank you for it all, because it's working. It's been a slow process, but it's really going smoothly. We're really happy with it.
Thanks for figuring
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Big upgrade.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is kind of a bus question.
Yep.
It just popped in my head. Do we have a bus that goes to the apartments back behind Walmart?
Currently right now they're walking up to the Colonial Estate.
By Menarca.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So but our goal is next year we'll be moving, talking with someone at Walmart, and we're going to move to a stop back there instead.
Okay.
It's safer for the driver, the kids, because they're at a stoplight intersection going back out in traffic, where now it's just kind of crazy trying to get back out. And then I'm assuming at some point too, the way the numbers I see going up, both my buses coming in from the south, I'll have one bus stopping picking up west kids, one bus stopping to pick up north kids. Because it, like I said, it's just too many almost right now to get them all on that one bus. Anything else? All right, thank you all.
Next is the high-purse compliance review. We need to talk about that at all.
No, that was just for information. I just wanted to put that in there so you guys could see how good of a job Denise has been doing with that. That's all 100% Denise.
Okay. And no public comments tonight? reports, superintendent report. Is there anything to add to that, Cassie?
I don't have anything to add. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. We're hoping here in the next week or two, the legislative session will wrap up. There's still a few education bills that are alive, and several usually surface when they get ready to do the budget bills and the funding allocations. So as we finalize some of, or as they finalize some of those, I will have that ready for the board at the next meeting.
The one thing I find interesting about what Cassie's helping with RAGBRAI on one of the committees, and the official route was unveiled last Thursday. And that's July 24th. And so they'll be coming in from the south on Highway 14. And I don't know, I just find that interesting that she's going to give updates every board meeting. So if anybody has any questions about that, she may or may not be able to answer.
We're already looking for volunteers, so if you have an interest in volunteering that day or helping out, you can get on the RAGBRAI website for Knoxville, and it funnels through our Chamber of Commerce. They've been a great partner in that.
Okay, we'll move into old business. We got an update on Kenlock Stadium request, Steve. Got anything there?
Yeah, I believe you guys wanted me to reach out to SOS to see about the stadium and some other people. As far as the north part, you've already said I got the north part for the wrestling show, but as far as like camping and such for the stadium, the SOS, when I talked to Penny, she said they're good with the wrestling show, but they didn't want anybody on the field. But I respectfully disagree and would like to still have the field itself for camping, but obviously I don't want to take a risk on damaging our field or anything, so I would just advertise it for light tent camping. And since we can't have drugs or alcohol in the stadium, I was going to advertise it more like the quiet zone, the quiet campground for folks if they're looking for a break from all the rest of it. Does that fulfill what you're requesting from me?
Yeah, we just wondered if you reached out to the wrestlers or that organization and
any
updates or anything like that.
Yeah, there's no issue with the wrestling show at all. My friends got that all taken care of, and we're working on having a big special guest that will help us raise some money and stuff too. So.
Anybody have any comments or questions?
Are you asking us to vote on letting you use the whole?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The whole block as I requested before. Because, see, my fear is that, if I have my show over here, but somebody else is using the rest of the stadium and, the alley, that goes to the west there, I'm worried that, we're not going to be seen and, there may be conflict, and I don't want any conflict. I just want to put on a good show and raise some money.
Me personally, I think, using that north end is fine. I would be concerned having people in the bowl of the stadium just from a liability perspective and the condition that it's in. I don't think that that's probably wise.
I have to purchase insurance anyway for the special event, so I think that would fall on me.
I'd love to be confident in that, but I think there's still some liability that could fall on the school if someone gets hurt.
In my opinion, Penny, did you want to say anything? Did you look like you're getting ready to?
Well, I'm just going to say, we chose not to have anything, even asked to have anything on the field, because we know the condition of it, and it's just not capable of handling a lot of traffic on it. And if the weather, if it should happen to be at all rainy, we would have a mess. So I so appreciate what Steve is trying to do. I don't want to poo-poo that, because it's great of him to even consider doing something like that, but really concerned about that field. We know it's going to take us a lot of money to do something with it, and if anything is going to happen down there at all in the near future, we need to make sure that we limit the usage.
Just my opinion, I'm going to agree with that. I don't think it'd be a good idea to have campers on that field. That's just my opinion.
I will add to that too, if I may. When we presented to you, we showed having ice skating down there in the winter, we contacted the extension office to Dale Miller, actually, who was with the extension, because he helped with that when it was put in, that field. And he made the comment that if, you know, you put it in the right time of year, but he said that field is really tricky to maneuver, and he said you're going to have to be really cautious. So we know what we're up against.
You mean as far as the grass, how the field was done?
Right.
Yes, I'm going to understand that.
Good.
Any other comments or questions for Steve?
I'm curious if SOS has anything planned for the portion where the old pool was for that period.
We had talked about doing something up there, but we weren't sure if we would be allowed to use it, so we kind of just stepped back. We are going to be doing some things downtown, but for that reason.
Steve, have you thought about not to poo-poo on your idea for that, but have you thought about moving closer to downtown and more parking lots or anything like that? Is that so it kind of sounds like there's like going to be a lot of things going on down there.
I know, I didn't want to interfere with all that. I thought this would be another option.
Oh, okay.
And like I said before, I kind of wanted to showcase the stadium. It's uniquely Knoxville. It's not just another, oh, hey, we're in an overnight town, there's another concert, you know.
That's it. The wrestling would be going on all day, off and on.
Yeah, I was just talking to my friend. We're planning to do 5 hours, you know, off and different matches, off and on, from 3 to 8. I still, could I get it in writing though that I can have like the whole block, but I'll just keep people off the field so that I don't have to compete with someone who comes in at the last minute or anything of that nature?
I'd say we're going to keep people off the field entirely. I'd say that's blocked off. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, what else is there on the block that you're looking to restrict other people from using if we're not going to allow them in it?
Oh, I was just going to say the alley there that runs in front of the stadium in between Highway 14 and the stadium.
Oh.
I wanted that too.
Just for parking?
Yeah, for parking and, you know, signs and things like that.
We got a question back here, it looks like.
Are we going to utilize the VA grounds, any of them, during the
camping?
No.
Back in
there? I think there's.
Yeah, the main campgrounds for RAGBRAI are going to be around the rec center here and on the south side of the high school. And then the charters, there's 36 charters that have their own riders that ride with them. And those will be spaced all over the city. So there's a couple of groups that will be at Young's Park. There's some at Alt Park. There will be some on the outside of the baseball field. There will be some on the practice field at the old middle school lot. I believe there are several churches that are going to also have them in their green spaces.
And the county park, what will be utilized, I think?
So the county park is actually just going to be open for regular reservations. So anyone who wants to go through their normal system can reserve a camp spot out there through the county itself.
But the VA grounds, none of that you're not using for housing is not going to be used at all.
So that I do know on the south side where those the doctor houses used to be, that is going to be used for camping as well. On the north side that the county still owns is not in good enough shape because it has had recent demolition. They are planning to keep people off of that.
Having worked right before at the county park during that, I think
it's a lot.
Underestimating a lot. Are they going to use up any grounds like near the airport? You have the front part of the airport before you go in to the.
No, we did check on that, and because the airport is used by Mercy One for emergencies, they can't have people out there. They'd have to shut the airport down.
I meant the grounds in front, but that didn't mean it itself. Yeah.
It's
all the same.
We had a meeting at Weiler today, so talking to Weiler about some of their space as well. So I think all of the green spaces around are going to have tents and people on them. It's just trying to figure out how to organize it all.
So Steve, he's requesting the gravel lot in front,
I wouldn't see a problem with that.
I don't see a problem with that.
I don't have any issue with that.
If you're gonna have wrestling, you need to have something in that area for, like I said, sign-ups, parking, what have you.
I would suggest having them come in on the north end, though, where, if you've ever been by where, when the cancer relay has been set up, there's a gate that we can open on that north side that comes off of parking right there on Marion Street.
Yeah, that part is perfect for the wrestling. I just thought I'd open up the rest of the stadium for camping, too, which I was on that field for the last football game. I didn't think it was that terrible.
The other thing I would add to this is we are planning on having a cleanup day down there this spring. So I wasn't here when Steve presented the first time, but I'm assuming he'll be responsible for cleaning up after the event.
Is that it?
I believe that's in the agreement as well.
Okay, all right. I think we're in agreement. Fields off limits, probably.
North side and west drive.
What's that?
Just the north side and the west drive.
Yeah.
I think the other question then that Steve had asked about were the bathrooms, will house. Those have been winterized, and we didn't have plans to get them ready for spectators or any visitors. So if the board would like to have us do that, we would just need to know that as well.
Didn't you mention you were just
going to bring
in porta potties last
week? Yeah, I was going to do that, but I don't think you can ever have too many restrooms for a thing like that. So.
Yeah, I don't know that we want to incur the cost to get those unwinterized for a private event when we wouldn't use it for any other reason, is my opinion.
Betty, would they be used for anything else this summer at all?
Not really.
All right, we have a motion for to approve Steve's idea, I guess.
Well, I would be comfortable making a motion that we allow on the north end, as we talked about last week, and the driveway on the west, but not open up the restrooms or allow access to the field.
Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Slyhouse?
Yes.
Schwartzenberger?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Thank you.
New business, consider KMS literacy curriculum proposal. Just had a presentation about.
I just have one question, Ellie. Are there any consumables in a middle school level? Are they in, maybe I just didn't see them in here. I assume there's some level of consumable.
Yes, there are the student, there are student consumable books that they can, much like you saw at the elementaries, that students can write, highlight, mark in. So students will get one of those each year that they're at the middle school. There will be one per student that would need to be purchased each year for that. As well as then the reusable hard copies of books like the Frankenstein book. And then there's the digital components as well.
So does this three-year agreement cover the consumables for 3 years as well?
It can, it covers all of the components. So the initial purchase of books and reusable things, it can, and the consumables and the digital licenses.
Currently, two different motions for just one motion for both proposals.
I move we approve this purchase.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Slyhouse?
Yes.
Schwartzenberger?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. Consider the revised 24-25 calendar and also the preschool calendar. Any more discussion about that, or do we have a motion to approve those?
I move we approve.
Second.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Slyhouse?
Yes.
Schwartzenberger?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. Next, consider the Midwest Demolition Company change order. Those of you that don't know what this is, I can say a little bit about it. Craig or Cass might jump in and add more to it. But basically, it's they got into the underneath the gym, underneath the locker rooms, and went way deeper than the footings were way deeper than what they thought. And there was no way of knowing that until they got in there.
And bigger.
And bigger, I guess. Concrete, all the concrete.
Like a bomb shelter.
Well, it was built in the 50s. It was. And that's all the paperwork has to do with, is just that, all those footings, all the extra big.
And even at this, with this additional cost, we are still, this quote was well below the other quotes.
Correct.
Yeah.
They plan on being done at the end of this week? With this new.
Yeah, they plan to be completely done by April 22nd with everything.
Okay. Would we go forward with that?
I'll second that.
Slyhouse?
Yes.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Schwartzenberger? Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. Next, consider transportation building water service relocation recommendation. That's the water line going from west.
Yeah, the water line currently comes out the west side of the building and goes directly north.
Pleasant.
Yeah, to Pleasant. So basically this would bring it down to Robinson and go north. The west side of the building, and you can just, yeah, you can see there the Bassett is the low price. His price for this was $11,660.
Any questions about that, or do we have a motion to?
So Bassett's quote, I see it's listed here for $11,660, but the actual quote you put back is $17,160. So
that, yeah, there was actually two items on his. The other one is to actually move a water meter pit by Randy Wilson track.
Okay.
We're just not ready for that quite yet.
I believe we accept Essex with excavating.
I'll second that.
Slykos?
Yes.
Swartz and Trooper?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. All right. Next, consider the KPAC emergency lighting battery backup system recommendation.
So when this system was installed, really, if you go up, when you go out and change the lights up at
catwalk.
Yeah, the catwalk. Yeah. You go up to the area right by the catwalk, there's a big cabinet. You open that cabinet up and it looks like a bunch of car batteries in it. And that basically just powers the emergency lighting. It's roughly 10 years old. Those batteries don't last forever. The reason they're so expensive is there's 24 of them. The company that Midwest Inverter that has the low bid was the original company that put that system in. So I'm very comfortable with them. It was actually hard finding somebody that can actually do that work. So got a hold of Iowa Fire and they can do it. Weren't really experts in it. So I was happy that Midwest Inverter was actually the low price. So you can come up and get that done for us.
Do we have any idea how long a system like this lasts, just out of curiosity? Less than 10 years, apparently.
Correct. And it, you know, I think the tough thing about it is that it's not like it's working at all the time. It's only when we lose power, so.
Just like any battery. I would move we approve the Midwest Inverter proposal.
Second. Sullivan?
Aye.
Slykos?
Yes.
Swartz and Gruber?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes. Next, consider 24-25 Paul Winters sponsor contracts. Anybody want to have any questions about that or have some time to look at it?
Our coaches and sponsors are part of our master contract, and at the last meeting you approved the updated master contract and the teacher contracts. And now we're ready for the fall and winter sponsors and coaches. The spring and summer ones, we wait until after this year's seasons are over, so we don't issue them another contract until they've completed the 23-24 school year.
Sullivan?
Aye.
Scott?
Yes.
Slykos?
Yes.
Swartz and Gruber?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes. Next, we got announcements and some dates to remember. We got prom coming up on the 13th. Week of April 17th, National Volunteers Appreciation Week. April 22nd, we got a budget hearing number two and school board meeting. April 24th, SIAC meeting. We need to set a public hearing for that, and our items will be placed on the agenda. Is that which we did with that?
You actually set that at the last meeting.
We did that, okay. All right. Other than that, we're adjourned at this time. Thanks, everybody, for coming out.